This season, we have teamed up with FansBet, the fan-led sports betting company committed to supporting charities and causes which are important to fans. Do check them out at fansbet.com and claim your bet £10, get £10 free. Welcome offer. To claim your welcome offer, visit register.fansbet.com/backofthenest. Our chosen charity partner is Sports in Mind, and by using FansBet, you'll be helping us support the great work they do. Terms and restrictions apply. Full details on site. 18 plus only. Please do gamble responsibly. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And please check out FansBet's responsible gambling tools.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford, and I'm joined by Albert Curley and Sam Hesketh. And it's the daunting trip to the Etihad that comes around once a year. And unfortunately, we usually have to go there and hold a beating. Hesketh, are we still friends, matey?
You tell me. I'm surprised you even remember my name.
We'll get into that shortly. Before we start, it's been a long day for me, so I want to get straight into this. Which is the beer check jingle, which usually works, but hasn't there. But it doesn't matter because this will suffice. Oh, Hesketh, you've got a little stubby red stripe there.
I have. What have you got?
I have got the last beer left over from the Anglican Beer Company. It's from the Three Blind Mice Brewery. But Albert, your missus was wandering around in the background before. Beers?
Sorry, can you just do the bit again where you say to Hesketh what you just said? You've got a short, stubby red stripe. Say that.
You've got a short, stubby red stripe.
Yeah, and what's he drinking? Sorry, I'm going to have to put the comedy trumpet out of reach because it's just going to feature far too much tonight.
I think a beer check for Albert is going to take about 10 minutes, the amount he's been drinking.
Well, like me, you've had a long day at work, so I'm assuming you want a beer right now.
Well, I'm currently, this is unfortunate, I'm between beers. I did finish a Tiny Rebel Cali Pale, one of my favourite ones. And I've just put a text in and hopefully I think what we've got in the fridge. I think a bottle of Modelo might be turning up. No, it won't be Modelo, it'll be Pacifico, hopefully. There'll be trouble if it's not. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, of course there will. Well, I'm drinking, yeah, as I say, my last beer from my Anglican Beer Company, Farmer's Market in Suffolk a couple of weeks ago. And this one is called...
We Saw You Coming.
Fish Don't Scream. It's... what does it say? Nothing, actually. It's got no blurb on it. Ingredients, water, barley, malt, oats, hops, citra, mosaic, equinox, and yeast.
I mean, that's a blurb in itself. Do you even need a blurb when you've got I don't even know what half of those words are that you just said.
Oh, it's pretty good. 7.5%. This is just what I need at the end of the day. But, you know, it could have a blurb if it was a former Crystal Palace and Manchester City player, Albert. Are you feeling the pressure this week after Nick Gillard, Sterling, Ramar, Jartois last week?
No. Went on a bit long, I thought. Went on a bit long. You know, tip for next time, Nick. Try and keep it a bit snappier.
Is that because you've only written one line this week?
Three.
Is it the same amount of syllables as in the player's full name?
Almost. I mean, we were banding around names before, weren't we? Just before I wrote this, literally about 4 minutes ago.
Okay, so Hesketh, based on the names we bounce around, who do you reckon he's going for?
I reckon Danny Granville, because it's a Danny Granville.
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping Sonji Hire, but I reckon Adebayor will be easy one out.
Well, you'll be pleased to know you're both wrong. And again, I won't tell you what the player is. You just see if you can work it out from the name of the beer. I've gone with...
What, like last time when it was Schmacked My Beer Chub?
All right. Well, let's see how you do this one. I've gone with Pull My Dick Off.
Very nice.
Yeah, great.
Great. You can just stop right there. It's good enough.
Yeah, it's probably the least libelous bit as well. This punchy little Scottish number goes well with a packet of Walker's crisps while sat by the pool in La Manga. Don't drink too many, though, or you could end up being led away in handcuffs and you'll look like a bit of an Alicante.
Very good.
Hang on. This story has completely passed me by. What is happening here?
Just Google Paul Dickoff La Manga, Leicester City, and... all will be revealed. including the fact that the charges were dropped. So, you know, let's move on.
Oh, it's that one.
Scowcroft got nicked as well, I think.
Would he have been another option? No. Why has Scowcroft come up? Oh, he's joined that generation.
Because it was when Paul Dickoff was at Leicester. Hence the reference to the Walker's crisps in the fucking Jesus Christ.
Striker Dickoff was thrown in a Spanish police cell with Leicester City stars Keith Gillespie and Frank Sinclair. They was being quizzed about something that happened much longer ago. I'm confused. Okay, I'll have to read up on that more. But yes, excellent effort. I'm sure it's all very concise with. And producer Mikey, get the lawyers on the case. We might need to delete it out. Talking of which, I picked up a writing job for the BBC, which I wrote my first article last week. I wrote my second article this week, and it still hasn't been published.
Going well.
It was all about the banner. So, I mean, they want to, you know, make their page more authentic and have fans' view on there. So I've given them an authentic fans' view, and it seems like they've gone, yeah, we don't want it to be that authentic. So, So it looks like my writing days at the BBC lasted about 8 days.
What is it with Back of the Nest presenters in the BBC when Nick was live on BBC London and the transmission stopped and it broke? You've done one article for the website. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't think there was anything in it that was massively contentious either as well. I think it was, you know, they'd been writing about that on the website anyway. I ended it with some Newcastle fans attempted to discredit Texter by linking his businesses to the Newcastle owners. The irony of them trying to discredit him by linking them to that unsavoury owners was lost on many. Text have thwarted them at every turn by correcting their misinformation. I have no real idea about Text's background, but I assume there's no human rights violations. The Geordies would have found them this weekend if there was. Hopefully Newcastle fans will take a step back when criticism is levelled at PIF. Football fans are tribal, and they'll likely stick up for them at every turn. Let the sports washing commence. I don't think it's that rough. Do you know what I mean? You want an authentic view, fans' view? Grow some balls.
You know what he's going to do, Eskiff?
What's that?
He's going to fucking, like you, he's going to fucking write into Points of View now.
Join me. I haven't had a... Do you know what's going on my list from Points of View this week? The fact that I texted Terence before the game yesterday at AFC Wimbledon, and I said, I can see you, just look to your right. Got completely blanked until half an hour after the end of the game, upon where I get a text saying, oh, were you there?
Ah, slag.
Well, we were too busy singing when Jez goes up to lift the pizza cup, we'll be there. All right, let's touch on that game then. I think the best talking point of it is that a couple of weeks ago, Charlton lost to AFC Wimbledon 1-0. And now under-23s have gone there and duffed them up 2-0. Has the gap ever been larger between us and Charlton?
No, and long may it continue. I bet someone dredged up the news article of their owner, Charlton's owner, saying like, oh, I texted Steve Parrish, I'll see you in a couple of years, and he hasn't texted me back. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a while.
When it's the 2 years.
He texted him saying, I can see you if you just look to your right. Sound familiar?
Yeah. Well, there was at half-time as well, I saw your mate Jason, and I say we had a good old chat while we were...
Pissing, just rubbing it in now.
Pissing in the urinal. I wasn't rubbing it in at the urinal. That's, yeah. And it just didn't even clock to me. You were there, and then I just phone was in the pocket. I was trying to pay attention to the games. I'm trying to like use my phone less. So, yeah, didn't see it until I was well home after. Unfortunately,
if I could
safely indoors.
Yeah, with everything locked. If I had a plastic trumpet and could play the last post for myself, I would do that right now.
Thrown it on the sofa. Now I can't reach
ow.
It.
Oh, lack of synergy. I'll text
the wife.
So back off of Palace. That was way too much Palace, way too early on. But well done to the under-23s last night. Tremendous performance. Rob Street and Jez Raksui, excellent performances. Both took their goals well, and I say both of their goals well. Like I saw Raksui's, like I wasn't backstage still drinking Guinness on draft in a football stadium. Bosh. Avit. Lovely stuff. And lovely little stadium, fair play to Wimbledon. But, Albert, you were missing again last week.
What, on the pod?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Nick come in just completely pissed on all your chips with a beer blurb.
Well.
What happened? Where were you?
I think we've you know, corrected that imbalance tonight. with the one that you didn't fucking get. Never mind. Where was I? I was at a there's no other way of saying this without sounding like a bit of a wanker. I was at a BAFTA screening of the latest James Bond film, No Time to See It, because it's really long.
No Time to Die. It is.
Yeah, No Time to Die.
Which was a shame, because I thought it was quite good. And if they trimmed it down by half an hour, I reckon it would have been perfectly fine.
I could spend a good 20 minutes talking about what I did and mainly didn't like about it, but I'm not going to do that. I know we're famed for not talking about previewing the games, but I think to go off on a Bond tangent would really be taking the octopussy.
Hey.
Honestly, let me get that trumpet back, because I think that was
nice. Well, I guess the final set, actually, we probably shouldn't throw out Bond spoilers either, should we? Let's leave it like that. See anyone famous there?
Daniel Craig on the screen. No, me. I saw myself. I checked myself in the mirror when I went to the toilet. No, there was nobody particularly famous there, I don't think.
This, I reckon this was just a lie, that he, a really sort of over-elaborate lie that he's still telling his wife, that he just wanted to get out of the house for a few hours, so went and slept in a Bond screening at a cinema somewhere.
No, the joke's on you. I was allowed to take a guest. So when no one else could come, I invited the missus and she was there. So
no one else could come. Hesketh, were you invited?
Well, to be fair, much as I'd like to dig Albert out, he did take me as his date to the last Spider-Man one, which is more up my Strasser than James Bond.
Yeah, and you know, Terrence can't sit there and dig me out when he was literally in the same football stadium with you last night and completely blanked you.
This is true.
Just doesn't work.
I'm sorry, I want to come to a screening. Where's my screening?
All right, well, we'll sort it out.
John Petrie took me to a screening recently.
I was going to say, don't you know an actual BAFTA winner?
Yeah, but you know, it's just what's one BAFTA winner when you can know a potential one day Oscar winner?
Wow, there you go. You talk about me?
No,
just got to make sure.
I say, how many people do you know?
Joe just came in the background with your beer. I was talking about her.
So you can see, well, yeah. Leave it there.
But are you planning on being away for any more future pods coming up?
Yes, plenty. No, nothing in the short term, I don't think. You know, the invites come through sort of, you know, intermittently. It's hard to know from one week to the next. But listen, I didn't do it. It's not a decision I took lightly.
Okay. We missed you, as we always do.
Didn't sound like it when I listened back. It sounded like you had a bit of a good time. And at my expense, it has to be said.
I had a good time at Patrick's expense listening to the match report this week. Unfortunate tug. He referred to Mark Gay's challenge, VAR challenge in the penalty area. Anyone care to comment? I mean, it's made for your catchphrase, Albert.
No comment.
All right.
If in a few years' time, Mark Gay, he moves on and plays for another club and we face them, I can tell you now the beer blurb will be unfortunate tug. That's a really, really vague callback to the legend that's Patrick O'Connor.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably have an awkward tug looking at pictures of Keith Millen. What a sexy old man he is. But he's... that was a reach of a segue, but he's the new car.
I was going to say, as great as Keith Miller is, that's a terrible, terrible segue. Yeah.
And I've also just ruined it. I should have said that was a reach around of a segue. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, off form tonight. It's been a long day. But congratulations! It's nice to see Keith Millen getting a job. It's a tough job. That's for sure. It's not an easy one to turn them around. But, yeah, it's good to see some of the good guys getting work, huh, Hesketh?
Yeah. I saw the tweet that announced it, and there was quite a lot of Carlisle fans who weren't particularly pleased, but then they were far outnumbered by Palace fans replying to the tweet being like, we love Keith Millen. We love him. Top boy. But also, and I mean, I'll say no disrespect to Carlisle. I'm sure there's no Carlisle fans listening. Who do they think they're going to get? Like, what name in football do they think that they can attract, like a very strong magnet to Carlisle?
Yeah. When I think it was Carl I first saw a tweet about it, and I read Keith, and then just immediately in my brain it followed Curl, and then it was like one of the good guys in football getting a job. I was like, Keith Curl, one of the good guys. Like, what am I reading here? And then I had to read back, and it was actually Keith Millen. But I'm delighted for him that he's got a job. I've fully deserved for the efforts he put in Palace over the years.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a beer.
And it's a salt.
Got it myself.
Got it yourself.
I don't have words.
There's going to be words later. Okay. Well, there you go. So good on Keith Millen there. I think we've got to talk about Brighton's tweet today in response to a Brighton fan who's called, his Twitter handle is @WilfBHA. He sent them an image that he'd made up of a Brighton player who actually missed the penalty that knocked them out of the League Cup tonight. They responded, "Love it, Wilf," with a flames emoji. Now, you can imagine how well this has gone down with Palace fans. And of course, Albert, they've committed the cardinal sin. They deleted the tweet. So even though it's a poor young Brighton fan called Wilf, who's now lost his credit, Palace fans everywhere have a screenshot that says this tweet has been deleted. Talk about admins got to get fired in the morning, isn't he?
Something tells me that those screenshots are likely to come in very handy the next game if Wilf carries on his scoring record against that shit bunch. Come on, Brighton admin, sort it out.
Sort it out. Do you? I know they don't earn a lot, these admin, but got to be a pay deduction, right, Hesketh?
Yeah, he'll probably do a GoFundMe. maybe hope some kind-hearted Palace fans will give him some money for giving us a laugh.
Yeah. No more Maltesers on expenses or anything like that for that kid.
Credit crunch.
Ayo. Big up Rishi Sunak. Motherfucker. Excuse me. So talking of Rishi Sunak, I saw a fantastic use of the word pussio on Twitter this week.
Now, that's, we're going to go for a Rishi round.
And it was, "Luca is such a pussy, over fuck's sake. Geezer couldn't murder a fish and chips. Wet is Serbian." How are you feeling about that, Hesketh? Is that fair or is that a bit harsh?
Oh, it's a bit harsh. I don't think he's been amazing, but yeah, that's quite harsh.
Well, it was, I think it come down to when he went in with that 50-50 against Newcastle. I think it directly followed that. And they bounced off each other and the Newcastle player was basically right up and he was rolling around on the floor like he was dead and then got to his feet and was immediately fine.
Yeah, I mean, I am the weakest person on the face of the planet, so I can't have a go at him for that.
Albert, what do you reckon? Do you reckon his song's a bit misleading?
Well, yeah, because as far as I know, I don't remember him actually murdering anyone. unless he's got something to tell us. Yeah, I don't know. Luke is a weird one because you think he's like this midfield enforcer, and obviously having the captain's armband, sort of, you expect him to sort of be, you know, I just think of like, you know, it all goes back to Jedinak. You know, you think of when Jedinak had the armband, and even players that didn't, like Delaney, you know, they're always ready to stand up and steam in. But there has been a couple of occasions where Luke has kind of, he doesn't sort of put his, I guess, his stamp on that captain's role. Like he's, you know, he takes a lot of the set pieces when he's on the pitch, etc. But in terms of, you know, sort of standing up to be counted and getting right stuck in, it's not, it's sort of a bit lacking from his game, rightly or wrongly. Not saying we want a Roy Keane, someone who's going to get 7 red cards every 10 minutes. But yeah, the sort of the chant does belie the player.
Well, I think that's what, I agree with what you're saying there. And I think Jimmy has shown this season, like in the couple of times he's been the captain, I think, but also just generally on the pitch, he seems to be quite up for that sort of in-your-face mentality this season. You know, he's been shouting at opposition players. He's been getting in the ref's ear as well. So
volleying opposition players.
Punting internationals. Yeah. But that's it kind of highlights what you want to see Luka do. And when he doesn't do it, after seeing Jimmy do that, it is a bit frustrating.
Support for Back of the Nest is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and they've just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. So it's a wonderful piece of kit. Not all of us have got the product at the moment. I've got the previous generation, which was magnificent and leaves you feeling very smooth and very clean. I have to say, Nick, I know you're a Manscaped aficionado as well, actually. So, talk to me about your experiences, please.
It's just fantastic. I mean, I'm old, really old, and I thought, oh, it's for the kids. But if you want to get rid of your chafing, get shaving.
copyright that was beautiful. I mean, obviously, you know, anyone who's tried to trim downstairs without the right piece of kit will have experienced moments of chafing, as you say, and you don't want nicks either. You really don't. And I don't mean you, Nick, of course.
No, that's how my dad thought of his name. Not shaving his balls, but shaving his face. That's how he thought my name. I'm a bit jealous, though, because I know Mike and Patrick in America has got the 4.0. That's got wireless charging, man. I have to plug mine in the wall. This isn't fair.
Absolutely right. Your dog seems furious about this. And they've engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer, focusing on intelligent functionality and incredible for an incredible, comfortable grooming experience. So the fourth generation trimmer has a cutting-edge ceramic blade. And reduces those accidents.
Did you say comfortables? Another good one.
That is a good one, actually. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah. You can customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 to 4. As you say, Nick, the wireless charging. I mean, basically, if you've been shaving with the same nut trimmer on your face, you've been doing it wrong. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth. I'm not sure I should have said that. It's in the read, but I feel bad about that now. But hey, it's the words are out there. We're not going to edit it out. So do join us. Get 20% off free shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. TM.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, so I haven't, I'm trying to look for it now because it was a video I wanted to watch earlier and didn't. It's one of those Arsenal fan TV blokes losing the plot over James McArthur. We'll listen to it together. We'll see what he's got to say.
So the disgrace of the week is James McArthur. James McArthur, you owe Mikhail an apology. You should be punished. You are an absolute disgrace.
Is that it? I mean, where was that energy when Guendouzi rugby tackled Wilfried Zaha in the last minute when it was actually, you know, a chance to score a goal?
Well, I think Arsenal would be, if any of Arsenal's midfield showed that passion, they'd probably do a bit better.
Was it that bad, that tackle? I still don't think it was that bad. I've watched it back a few times. I still don't understand it. And Saka played on the Friday.
It's not a tackle. That's first and foremost. You know, it's like he's He's just trying to clear a football that's not there, and Saka's in the way. Like, I don't think he'd even call it a tackle. I mean, it's bad, but I don't think it's a I don't think it's a red card.
What do you think the biggest recovery was, that or when Puncheon killed De Bruyne?
Never seen him since.
I've got a mate who supports Man City. Very nice bloke, very even tempered. And when I was in the Glazers after that game, I got a real like barrage of shit off him on text, which I then sent back because he pissed me off. And he was like, you know, he's injured for the whole season, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, fuck off. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. He was back 2 days later.
Yeah. To be fair, the other way round, wasn't it? Yeah. Puncheon was the one who was injured for the season.
To be fair to him, he did send me, when the teams were announced and De Bruyne was in, he did send me a text saying, all right, I'm sorry.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it's a Christmas miracle.
I love that's the sort of thing that only football fans could really understand, that he feels the need to send you an apology for something Jason Puncheon did on a football field. Like you had any control over that situation whatsoever. Excellent stuff. I think that De Bruyne one was probably the bigger recovery, because City fans did really lose the plot about that. And I suppose he is one of the best players in the world. So I guess we'll talk about De Bruyne a little bit more shortly, because we're playing Manchester City this weekend. Just as I've been enjoying it, you know, really looking forward to us playing, we end up having to face them. Sad times. But first out, Andre Mariner is going to be the ref. Got any bad memories about him?
He sent Wilf off for clapping, didn't he? That was him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
The good news
is, however, the last time he reffed a Man City game was when they lost to Leeds at the Etihad at the back end of last season.
Clutching.
Well, how about this one? Man City have just finally lost their League Cup crown tonight, because they've been knocked out by West Ham on penalty. So it's literally the first time Guardiola's lost the League Cup game as Manchester City manager. The straw that broke the camel's back, the castle's going to come tumbling down now. The linchpin that has been Guardiola's success at Manchester City is the bedrock.
The bedrock of the Carabao Cup. The foundations are crumbling.
I mean, I guess the stat would always come out then that it was on penalties. They haven't lost in normal time and blah, 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 blah. But
whatever.
What about this one? In the time that Palace have played their last three games, Man City have played six. Tired legs?
Massive squad. Full of world-class, amazing players. So I don't think, again, it feels a bit clutchy. I didn't see that what team they put out tonight, but I'm assuming it was fairly decent.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming it's going to be a bit second stringy, but I can pull it up here and we can have a wee butchers who they played. So they had 26 shots to West Ham's 8. Wait, what am I looking at? Is that right? No, that's not right.
Yeah, 25 shots to West Ham 7 I've got. Oh. And their lineup had Kyle Walker, John Stones, Nathan Ake, De Bruyne, Gundogan, Fernandinho, Mahrez, Sterling.
Yeah, Foden, Jesus, Sterling up front. I mean, Gundogan, Grealish and Fernandinho. I mean, that's basically full strength, with the exception of Diaz and because Kyle Walker, De Bruyne and Mahrez all came on as subs, it looks like, or came off.
Let's get to the real stat. How many corners did they have? Because that's where we're going to fuck Jesus. Up.
I'm actually going to look.
Nine to West Ham's 2.
Oi!
That's at least 5 goals.
Yeah. Wait, so their starting lineup did include De Bruyne and Mahrez and Walker. So Foden and Jesus came on, Grealish came on, and Cancelo came on. So either of them look like a first team. I'm not really sure which one's meant to lead up.
Yeah.
So talk to me, Albert, about corners. What's going wrong?
We keep conceding from them.
I mean,
next question.
The Who Scored preview does say it's very likely that Man City will score from a set piece.
I mean, Man City are so good, they don't even have to. They've probably not even looked at the fact that's one of our weaknesses. They don't need to, because they've got plenty of other ways of scoring rather decent goals. But as far as Crystal Palace are concerned, it is something we need to address. You know, it's all right at the moment. We're not the tallest team at the moment. I get it, and it's, you know, our centre halves are as good as they are. They're a new pairing. And not necessarily the most aerially dominant, but we do need to find a way to sort of plug that leak, because it's gonna kill us, you know. It's not purely been down to set pieces, but you know, you look at the points that we've dropped. Certainly the last minute equalisers and stuff. You know, we should have almost double the amount of points that we've got. You know, we should have at least another 6 to 8 points on the board. And all right, you go to Arsenal, and would I have taken a 2-2 before kickoff? Yeah, I would. The manner of it is disappointing, but when you're at home to Newcastle, and you know that's a game that you sort of think, well, in the context of all these draws, we really need to make sure we're coming away with 3 points. And again, we kind of come unstuck. All right, it wasn't last minute, but. You know, it's the, under similar sort of circumstances. It's the second balls. It's the set pieces into the box, and yeah, we have to remedy it somehow.
Yeah, I can't remember who I was talking to. It was someone at the game yesterday. Obviously, not Heskey.
Certainly wasn't me.
but they said that they think under Roy we would have had a few more points this year than we've actually got. Which is actually nonsense, because exclude Brentford.
That is nonsense.
We didn't play them the year before, but all the other, we've got 9 points this year from fixtures that we only got 5 points from last season. So we're already well ahead of the curve when it comes to that. I mean, it depends if you say Brentford are Leeds. What did we do to Leeds? Did we lose to Leeds at home last year?
No, we beat them 4-1, didn't we, at home?
Was that last year? That weren't the season before. Oh, of course it was. That was last year. So I guess Leeds and Brentford are probably the direct comparison. So we might be a bit behind there. But that Leeds performance was a freak of nature one anyway, in that sense. And small margins if that Bamford goal that should have stood did stand.
And the crazy own goal that we had.
The crazy own goal, yeah. And then one of them was a belter of a free kick in to the top corner. So it was a bit of a freakish result.
But I look at that Arsenal game, and I mean, we can do the whole what would have happened under Roy, but I look at the Arsenal game from last week, you know, and it the first 15, 20 minutes reminded me of when we went to Arsenal when we were, what, 4-0 down after,
yeah,
or was it 3-0 down after 18 minutes or something, yeah. You know, and that could have easily have happened because they were very good for that first sort of 15, 20 minutes. We very fortunately grew into the game by trying to play football and might I add playing football. I don't think I haven't got a crystal ball, but I don't think you can sit and say here that we'd have had more points under Roy. I don't think we would have, to be honest. Yeah. Might have had the same, might have had similar, but I don't think there'd have been a significant difference in the positive direction.
Yeah, I agree. Right, Heskey, tough one for you. I want to go back to Anderson. He's a very tall man, mm-hmm. and you feel like he should be a bit more dominant in the air than perhaps he is. Particularly, seems to get caught under the ball quite a lot sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know if we jinxed him by talking about what a partnership he and Gay were a few weeks ago. But there was also a good little article in The Athletic this week, sort of looking at our positioning at set pieces, and Anderson's sort of circled quite a bit. Where just before the Arsenal equaliser, he sort of like sprinted out to try and cut someone off, yeah. And didn't, and the cross came in and they scored from it. And then at Newcastle, the corner that they scored from, he and Gay both sort of got caught up in each other trying to head the ball. Neither did, And yeah. whilst it was a good finish from Wilson, you know, they didn't stop the ball getting sort of headed back across goal. So it's one of those things. I think it's weird that we're talking about them or him in this case defensively, because all we talk about are the positives of how good the passing is and getting the ball moving and getting us attacking well. I didn't really ever consider that they would have issues actually defending. And in the first couple of games, I don't think they really did. So you hope that it's just teething problems. You know, Anderson's an experienced international centre-back, so I would have thought that he'd be able to sort of get over these mistakes and push on. But at the moment, they're sort of feeding into us not taking our chances. You know, the strikers know we have to score quite a few because we can't keep clean sheets, but then there's more pressure on the strikers. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I think he'll be fine. I think he's a good defender. Yeah. But at the moment, we're just making the same sort of mistakes and they're being punished every game, which is obviously a massive issue.
But they're both still very young by centre-back standards, you know, in terms of when you'd expect them to come into their prime. So still got a lot to learn. Albert?
I think the thing that makes it potentially slightly worrying as well is, you know, we're still an Eze and technically a Wilf away from our first 11 players on paper in terms of quality, and do we want to see them on the pitch? And, you know, if Christian Benteke is one of the sort of nominees to fall foul of that, and I know some might say it's a damning indictment of Christian Benteke that I'm going to sit here and praise what he does, you know, it defensively, you know, defensive headers from set pieces. You know, you take Benteke out of that team, and that's another sort of significant weakening of our capabilities of you know, the trying to defend set pieces and corners into the box. So, you know, we have to find a way of addressing it, you know, without relying on a striker who might not be in the first team much longer. Not saying I don't want him there, but someone's got to give way somewhere.
Yeah, I think they touched on this on the match report in terms of, do you see it going to a 4-4-2 and having Benteke, Edouard, Elise, Zaha, and then one of the three current midfielders and Eze? Hesketh, that's ambitious, right? I mean, I don't really see how that works unless we move to some form of three at the back, really, to get that extra man in the middle.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have some options on the bench. I know we like all of those players you mentioned, and the idea of them all starting on paper sounds, you know, fun. But I think you can't have that little amount of cover behind them if you play all of those and try and shoehorn everyone in. But that's,
yeah, if your middle two's Eze and Gallagher, for example, talk to me about how that works.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't.
I don't think set pieces would be our issue if that was the case. But like I said, I mean, that's why you have a squad, isn't it? Like for the last couple of years under Roy, we bemoaned the fact that our squad was pretty small and he didn't bring on subs anyway. Whereas this year, Vieira's obviously quite happy to bring players on and they make a difference. So I don't mind, you know, if Ebs is on the bench 1 week or Elise is on the bench 1 week, you know, it just means we've got good players to bring on if we need to.
I think the 4-4-2 thing, you know, again, if you say that Eze is the first choice to play in the middle of a two, you know, the only other options that potentially work in terms of not leaving us too exposed and going to a back three when we're on the attack is, you know, it's Kouyaté or a stretch Luka. And sometimes it works with Kouyaté. You know, there's times where earlier in the season where he was dropping back and falling in with the other two centre halves, and it kind of worked. No, it didn't set the world on fire, but there's been also plenty of experiments, and again, mainly under Roy, that Kouyaté at centre half is very patchy. So I can't see the 4-4-2 being an option for us.
Yeah, and like I say, I can't see us moving to three at the back either, as well, to accompany those players and keep the extra man in midfield, because I mean, it feels that it would be awfully wrong to take Tyrone Mitchell out of this team based on these performances that he's been putting in this season. It would feel really wrong. So, I know, but like good points about him prepared to use the bench and making changes, being bold with his changes and making tactical changes and all that, which are picking up things. You know, we get results. We come from behind in games. We've been scoring goals. So, I mean, long may it continue. Use the squad, and it's nice to have a squad. Nice to be able to turn to the bench and actually look at it and go, oh, let's bring Mateta on because we need a goal against Newcastle. No. is that two more performances he needs now? Two more appearances he needs now to secure that deal? It's something like that. But who knows? Right, a couple more Man City stats. They've only conceded 4 goals in the Premier League this season. And our only 2 defeats this season have come against the 2 big 6 sides. Well, I guess Arsenal win. Could it call it the big 5? Do we replace Arsenal with Leicester now and Leicester the 6th side in the top 6? But Albert, if you think about our performances against Chelsea and Liverpool, not so much Chelsea, I guess. It was a bit, the first game of the season, a bit weird. But against Liverpool, we tried to go toe-to-toe a bit, but came off worse. Do you think we'll do the same against City? Continue with our style and just see what happens?
I think so. You know, I think it's clear an ethos and a mentality and a style that Vieira's trying to drill into this team, and, you know, to chop and change and go, right, okay, now we're going to play really defensive and we're going to play on the counter. Now, I think it's potentially detrimental to the sort of long-term, you know, plan for the team. So I would expect us to go to Man City and go on the front foot, and you know we've seen it. Like we're capable of giving people a decent game. You know, like I said, Chelsea was an anomaly. Liverpool, we had a couple of chances that, you know, if there'd been a bit of better control in the area, we might have nicked a goal here or there. And Liverpool were a different class this season as well. So none of those performances or those results are anything to be ashamed about or embarrassed about. So I think I expect us to go to City and just carry on as we are, really. And if, you know, if we get on the end of a 2-0 or a 3-1 or a 3-0, you know, the Man City at the end of the day, I don't want to go there like we have done in previous seasons, shut up shop and come away on the end of a 3-0 all the same. You know, let's go there and try and hurt them and come away with a goal, you know, because we need to be creating more chances. That's the thing that's, you know, slowly, it's improving slowly, but we need more clear-cut chances at goal, and you're not going to get that going to City and parking the bus.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a strange one, because I feel like I don't feel like scoring goals has been our problem this season. I think it's putting away more, it's been at the other end. We conceded the horrible set pieces, which means then we need more than the 2 that we're scoring in most weeks. And I think we're creating more than enough to score goals to win 2 games against Newcastle comfortably, you know, less so against Arsenal away. But as Sellers, we were on the front foot. I mean, the crazy stat is a 75% possession, which is a club record in the top flight. But Hesketh, Gay, Ward and Anderson all broke the previous completed passes record for Palace in a game. In one game. That's a mental stat that I think it was CPFC Analytics that highlighted that on Twitter.
Yeah, it's great. And what I like as well is that it's not necessarily just passing it between each other for ages and not going anywhere. You know, I don't really get the impression that we do that. It always sort of looks like we're looking for a pass, we're looking to get the ball forward. And like you say, in terms of the football we're playing and creating chances, especially at home, especially against Newcastle, it worked really well. And that's obviously from building from the back, rather than going sort of back to front all the time. So it is a work in progress. It's going well though. But obviously, like we've talked about, those, it's just the defending set pieces that we need to sort of rein in, because it's costing us very dear and we're not getting the points in a lot of games that we deserve.
Yeah, what you'll see playing City this weekend as well, assuming they play Rodri in the middle of the park, for example, that's where the difference is, and I think where our next level of progression comes from. And it probably involves having to sign someone in the summer or in January if we can. where one of Ward, Anderson or Gay becomes your central midfield player, who's also having the 90-odd passes per game. At the moment, I think it is. There is an element of it's all being across, a lot of it being across the back and so on. But yeah, you want it to be that ball-playing player in the middle of the park who's doing it 10 yards further up the pitch, which is then we can really start to cause problems. I actually read a big, long article on Man City's positional style and how Pep Guardiola's sort of evolved this whole gridding up the pitch. So previously, like the positional play, they gridded the pitch into 18, but Pep Guardiola's divvied the pitch up into 20 sections. He's changed it a bit in the middle of the park. And basically the rule is that you shouldn't have more than three players in the same horizontal line across sections, and you shouldn't have more than two players in the same vertical lines. So maybe this is where we beat them. You sort of just barge a couple of players into the wrong sections and just see if it throws them all off.
Yeah. Could you come and stand over here, please? I've got...
but it's just, I mean, reading this whole article, I wish I can remember where I read it, but I cannot. It's just incredible how in-depth the game's being thought about at that level and how they just work on drumming it into the players that, you know, on so many different moving parts across a football field is basing on where each individual player has to be. And he, as in Guardiola, gets them into that mindset to know exactly where to move as and when all the other pieces on the pitch move. It is quite fascinating, really. And then you've
got us just going, just defend better.
What are you saying? That we don't do in-depth tactical analysis of the upcoming game? This is the Back of the Nest Preview podcast. We do in-depth previews all the time.
That's true. Just get them
sometimes round. With a comedy trumpet.
Or what was the other one you had a few weeks back, that keyboard type thing?
Oh, the little stylophone. Beatbox. Mm. Yeah, you know, just because we're doing deep tactical analysis doesn't mean we can't have a bit of a laugh.
I love that you buy these toys for your kid under the pretense that it's for your kids, when really it's just for you to show off on the...
No, the Beatbox stylophone is mine. As I've said to the kids. Put that down!
What about that rusty trombone you were playing earlier?
Ah, no, that's definitely not for the kids.
It wasn't a rusty trombone for clarity. It was a very plastic and yellow looking.
I've told you about Jeff, my old scout leader. He was also the scout band leader. He was partial to the rusty trombone.
Boo. Poor old Jeff, RIP or not.
No.
No longer here to defend himself.
Or touch anybody else. For the record, he didn't touch me.
That's because you've pushed it to the back of your mind. You've locked that box up. No, sorry, you should make jokes
so,
about
so
it.
So glad you said that. No.
What's the score going to be? We'll start with you, Albert. Magic dice.
Oh, fuck's sake. 1-1. I don't believe it.
I don't think anyone would be complaining about a draw if we came away with a draw this weekend, that's for sure.
No.
So you don't believe it, but the day.
No, I think because I think it'll be a higher scoring draw.
Now, unfortunately, Heskey found Newcastle fan got the score correct last week.
Yeah.
Predicting 1-1. More out of he didn't want to predict a defeat for his side more than anything. So God, I dread to think what you're going to say.
I think it'll be similar to Liverpool. I think we'll lose 3-0. Yeah, I think we'll give it. It's very patronising to say it's a mine team. I think we'll give it a good go, but they just won't be good enough.
Yeah, I think it could go one of either. It could go a couple of ways, really.
They've done a couple of fives. They've done a couple of fives already, haven't they, this season?
Yeah, and they stuck four past Brighton on the weekend as well. Hurrah, huzzah. I don't know. 2-0. I was going to say 3-0, so I'll say 2-0. 2-0 City. Hopefully we'll grab a goal, keep that sort of trend going of scoring in games. That'll be really nice. But I don't know what else. So I hate when pundits do this, like easy way out. You just say Man City is probably going to, they just say Man City is probably going to have too much of Crystal Palace. And then on the odd occasion that we beat them, like we did a few years back with the Townsend, Schlupp and Milivojevic goals, then everyone just sort of goes, well, you know, City had an off day. So I'll take a City off day. That would do. Right. Albert, next week's pod, who is it? Who are we playing?
Wolves.
Did you think it was Wolves this week?
Yes.
Could you got away with your beer blurb if you did a Mark Kennedy one?
I could have, but I didn't. I went with pull my dick off.
It's like you're regretting it already.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, it's live radio, isn't it? I mean, it's not. We could go. I could kick up a fuss and get it edited out, but I'm not going to do it.
It's not the first time or the last time that you'll pull your dick off in a rush.
I think we should wrap it up now. Yeah.
There's a joke in there somewhere as well. Listen out to the match report on the weekend. Who knows? Will Hambo be there? Who knows? It probably won't be. It probably might Scott again, just trying to make up more excuses as to not admitting to everyone that we actually have Hambo locked in a basement somewhere and we're not letting him out. Or just that he's with his girlfriend. Has he mentioned that he's got a girlfriend to anyone? I'm sorry,
once
Hambo.
Or twice.
We love you, really, Hambo. We'll be back soon. But yeah, the match report will be out on Sunday. There'll be post-match reaction with DR on the YouTube channel, which of course is getting released as a podcast now. And then we will be back next Wednesday to build you up to Wolves, where I've got posh seats. This is, if you remember, back end of last season, I did the posh seats for the Arsenal game because I didn't think I was going to get a ticket in the reduced capacity game. Went to the Legends Bar and they fucked it up left, right and centre. This is them trying to make it right so we get
is
a free...
Is this your cold rice pudding or whatever it was?
That's exactly mango, right, yeah.
Mango Cooley.
Mango
Cooley.
The new Wolves right back.
Mango Kool-Aid or something. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I might have to listen to that back. That did amuse me. Yes, so the Legends Bar are having another go at impressing people they really don't need to impress, like me, Nick Howe and Ben Mintram, Clapham Grand on Twitter. Chris Waters will be with us.
You've just been invited along?
No. So for the Arsenal game, we went and they fucked it up so badly. They said, we're going to make it right. You can come back to another game next season for free of charge. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But it was like dreadful. Short of them giving us free alcohol, they got everything else wrong. It was appalling. But it was also the first time that they'd opened this bar. So
right.
They just got it wrong. And I say, to be fair to them, they wanted to make it right. I'd like to think it's because they knew who I was and they were like, oh, he's gonna give it to us both barrels on socials.
Have you seen the menu?
No, I'll dish it out for the pod next week and I'll give a Cockney reading of some French dishes.
Very nice.
Very nice. But as always, thank you for listening. Thank you to you, Albert, and thank you, Hesketh. I apologise. I'm sure I will say hello to you next time I see you in person.
Wave at me from the executive box.
I will do. Anyone who's going to the City game on the weekend, enjoy yourself up there. Be safe, and until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This season, we have teamed up with FansBet, the fan-led sports betting company committed to supporting charities and causes which are important to fans. Do check them out at fansbet.com and claim your bet £10, get £10 free and 50 free spins welcome offer. To claim your welcome offer, visit register.fansbet.com/backofthenest. Our chosen charity partner is Sports in Mind, and by using FansBet, you'll be helping us support the great work they do. Terms and restrictions apply. Full details on site. 18 plus only. Please do gamble responsibly. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And please check out FansBet's responsible gambling tools.